He is a legend of wearing the green and gold. Matt Burke joins us on the phone. Burkey, a lot's been said the last couple of days. I saw you after that game, or heard you after that game, and you did get stuck into the boys. It must always make you sad when you, or must make you sad to see how this team and organisation is travelling at the moment.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. Lois, you're right, Dave. And I've been there, mate. I've been there in 1995. Can you believe it? Like, 25 years ago, when we lost against England in the same situation, that quarter final, and you gutted, But the frustrating part for me, I suppose, in that 80 minutes the other day, was that, you know, their attack at times was very good. They, you just got to look for a holistic type of game plan, and they didn't have it. And you can see the smarter teams playing better rugby. It's just smarter rugby. And it's interesting that, you know, fatigue in the second half set in. And I think it's because our blokes are just genuinely running too much of the ball. You know, sometimes, and Loz, we always talk about it, sometimes it's easier to play without the ball than it is with the ball. And you know, Checker said after the game, he doubled down, he put the chips in. He said, if we're going to go this way, let's go the whole way and go for broke. And you know, I think there's a point of no return, as you said, and there's the understanding of a point of no return. There's an understanding of actually wanting to play semi-finals, and I think they got that wrong on the weekend, and they've paid the price for it heavily by losing that quarterfinal.
See, Burkey, when I watched, I'm all for playing an attacking brand, but you've got to have the players to be able to do it, the skill level to do it. When I watched the Wallabies play, I see neither of that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm with you too, Loz. Game plan was off, and I think there was a lot to be left to be desired from the skill level. It was off. And if you look at that quarterfinal stage, you know, all four games, New Zealand were outstanding. You know, just the slickness of the passing, the ability to break a play and pass the ball. Japan were outstanding, even though they got beaten in the end by a muscled-up South African team. The way they played the game, I tell you what, that talk about winning fans over, that was incredible.
That sort of gets to my point. I thought Japan's skills looked better than ours.
Yes.
Even though they lost. Like, their catch pass was a lot crisper, it was sharper. Even though they lost and playing against a physical South African, they're always going to be up against it. But just with the ball in hand, they looked better than us.
Yeah. They created something. Yeah, absolutely. They created something. And a lot of their play was played in front. Like, so you're actually having a crack at the guys. A lot of our plays were played behind the play. So they go deep, deep, deep. And they got away with that one try when Corobetti scored after, you know, going through sort of, you know, eight or nine phases. But outside of that, I think we've got the wrong people in the wrong positions. We've got forwards in passing positions where they should be in running positions, you know, sort of battering positions. So it was just it was frustrating to watch. It was frustrating for the Aussie fans. I think it would have been frustrating for the players because, you know, they've got this a chance to just play a little bit smarter. And you don't just become a bad footballer, you know what I mean, Loz? Like, you have an instinct. And I suppose that's the outcry of a lot of old players are saying at the moment, that they're not using their instinct. They're just sort of playing a pattern that's just not working. And that's, you know, the whole thing of rebooting the system is getting these young kids to understand what's in front of them rather than playing these pod systems around the corner. I think we spoke earlier in the year when Waratah sort of got going, I sat in on a meeting. I walked out of there and I said to Chris Whittaker, who's assistant coach, I said, mate, I said, I'm confused. And I sort of know what's going on. And he sort of smiled at me about this pod system and what they're trying to achieve. And it's very much like a game of chess. But I think there's, you know, and you look around and the guys that are going to win this World Cup are going to create something special in front of them at that moment, in that time, rather than sort of, you know, going to the playbook and going to sort of, you know, play 23 subsection B, you know, clause C type thing, you know. And that's what they're sort of doing at the moment.
Now, which camp are you in, Burkey? Are you in the camp of we need an Australian to coach the Wallabies, or do we just go and find the best person, and if it's a foreigner, so be it?
Yeah, you know, I'm loyal to the Aussies, and I'd love to have an Aussie coach, but then I've seen what's been done around the world in regards to other coaches doing their things, and there's been a lot of success with foreign coaches at different countries. Now, we tried the Robbie Deans thing a couple of years ago and it didn't work. It failed sort of miserably. And I suppose it came from a different system from that Crusaders thing where they had the players to play that type of game. Our players didn't have that type of game. There's an argument to say, hey, you know, we need someone to, you know, understand the values of a gold jersey. And I think that was the legacy of Michael Checker. It brought enormous emotion and enormous passion to that jersey there. Other things may have slid by the wayside, but you know, I'm up in the air, Loz. I just don't know in that regard. I can't wait to see who comes in the mix, because we're not only looking for a coaching scenario, but I reckon there will be some changes, some shifting at through the whole Rugby Australia process. They're part of what it is at the moment, I reckon also, boys, is I think they may have to move to like incentive-based contracts, because you know this scenario at the moment where they're outlaying all this cash for the blokes and they're just not getting any return for it. Sponsors must be killing themselves when you look at the amount of money that's been shelled out and they're not having any success. And you know, when you're getting paid a wage and there's an incentive at the back end of it, I think you go a bit harder, don't you? You know, if there's some reward for the end of it, if you're not getting a reward, you're trying to figure out why, and you quickly change your game plan if you're not winning.
A lot of pressure away from the team is on Rugby Australia, the board. First question, what do you think about that pressure towards them? And secondly, if an opportunity came up, would you put yourself forward to become more involved with Rugby Australia?
First question, board, there'll be pressure on them because of the demise of what happened with this 2019 campaign and the way they went about it and sort of giving the tick of approval. The hard part about it was, I think, you know, they gave Checker an unlimited piece of rope, so to speak, and now they've sort of reined him in and he didn't like that. And so there was always going to be conflict there. But, you know, like in a game of footy, Loz, you know, ball gets thrown on the ground, you've got to pick it up and you've got to sort of readjust and go again. So they had to make do and work out a scenario that's going to be best place for everyone. Whether that was obviously it didn't work because, you know, in the end they left this World Cup too early. So I imagine there'll be a lot of pressure on them, Dave, to get a right scenario, and there'll be a lot of pressure on them. And you know, this review that's going to happen will be very interesting. For me, getting involved further with rugby, I enjoy the rugby side of it, mate, from a coaching perspective, from the kids' side of it. I like teaching the kids. I like teaching kids and young adults individual skills. For an administration role, I don't know. It'll be the world's hardest thing. And, Lawrence, you know, I'm just looking at it from your perspective, from a coaching perspective. You know, you're trying to do something and then there's other blokes doing something, you know, pulling in a completely different direction. So that would be the difficult part. Yeah. Most fundamental things, Dave, when you're talking about coaching, is the way we're goal kicking. Mate, we are struggling in that area. I know Christian Leilufano hit them well the other day and he was 100%. But you know, when you're lining up these kicks and you look at some of the other guys around the world and the technique they're using, you're confident every time you're standing up there. Our guys really struggled through this World Cup and it's such a big thing. But it's starting because, you know, and then you sort of have to dive in a bit deeper and you go through, you know, why are the young kids, you know, kicking this way, like low down, like Jonathan Thurston-esque. And that's why I say to the kids, because that's what they see on TV. They see the rugby league on free-to-air TV and they don't see enough of our guys doing the stuff. So they just pick up a ball and kick it that way. But I walk down the park and I'll stand there for 15 minutes watching a kid kick a ball and I'll just go to him and say, hey, mate, I did this a couple of times. If you try this, it might actually get over. So we want a campaign to change the whole technique of how they're kicking, even the old spiral kick. Bring it back. Like, just get some distance happening. It's frustrating on the sideline.
Well, that leads me to the next question then, Berkey. Is there total alignment in the way that kids are taught and at the top level right through to the bottom level, or is it all over the shop? Everyone's got different philosophies.
Well, mate, it's all. I think the way you then approach it then, Loz, is that it's just the dads, you know, who are coaching, who go, well, I watch Jonathan Thurston, I watch, Felt the ball, you know, from a kickoff, that kind of stuff, or even having shots at goals. I watch, you know, these boys, you know, knocking them over, Mitchell Moses and stuff, and that's how they get their coaching. So you can't blame them. I suppose then you have to blame the system. to say we're not getting the right message from the bottom or from the top down to the bottom to be able to then go from the bottom to the top. So it's a massive reboot, I think, of how they structure and get their development out there, the development programs out there. When I go back to when I was playing, and I used to work at Eastwood Rugby Development Officer, and we used to go out and do all the training. And there would have been, I think there was about sort of 15, 20 development officers. I think there could be maybe one or two now in New South Wales. So you're losing out because, you know, there's the money aspect of it as well. So this comes at a good time where I think you can do a nice reboot and just sort of say, hey, boys, let's have a look at the system. What's working, what's not working, and work from there. So, I mean, they've got their own issues as well. You know, I think it's February next year. They've got the Folau thing that sort of comes to a head. So, you know, as apart from that, you know, if there's a new CEO or whatever, they come in there and they're just, you know, they're waiting in the proverbial. You know, you're not starting on an even playing field. So tough times for rugby at the moment. But I hope they get through.
Berkey, we love your passion, mate. We could talk for hours. We'll see you first at 5 on 10.
Oh, David, fantastic, mate. Thanks for your support.